Hi, I'm Steph.
And I'm Jules.
And welcome to
The Babesment. Steph is a body positive photographer.
And Jules is an intuitive eating and body image coach.
And we have both dedicated our lives to empowering women to own their bodies and themselves so that they can live their biggest lives.
And now we want to welcome you into these powerful conversations.
So join us as we hear from women and anyone working through and overcoming struggles in their bodies.
We are inspired daily by the lives they live, and we can't wait to share their empowering life lessons with you.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Jules.
We are back in the Babesment.
There it is. You got to sing us in.
There it is.
There it is. Who do we have today?
We have Katie Diasti, who is the founder and CEO of a super rad company that you guys are all going to go nuts for called Viv for Your V.
Yes, Viv for Your V is a super dope period care company that not only is non-toxic, but also is extremely environmentally friendly, which we found out in our interview. It's very shocking information about how long our period care products are hanging out on Earth.
You're not going to... Wait, like, Steph, when you, like, said it back to Katie and you said that number, I almost was like, I think Steph said that wrong. No, because I was like, wait, what?
Because it can't be real, but it is for real.
It is crazy how long some of our period care stays on this planet.
It is quite gnarly.
It is gnarly. Yeah. So we had a really, really great combo with Katie all about Viv for Your V. It's a super amazing company. And for all Babesment Pod listeners, you'll get a 15% discount on any Viv for Your V period care using the code Babesment. We'll link that in the show notes so you can easily access it there. But without further ado,
here's Katie.
Here's Katie. Hi, guys. We're back in the Babesment with a very special episode today. We have Katie Diasti, the founder and CEO of Viv for Your V. We are so excited to have you on, Katie. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
It was like your PR team had reached out to us, and when I saw it was a Boston College connection, because you are also a BC alumna, I was like, oh my God, yes.
Jill's like, we have to have her on. We get a lot of pitches.
And I mean, Viv for Your V already, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Definitely want to have her on. But then when I saw the BC thing, I was like, oh my God, like, yes.
Sold.
Steph, do you want to take it away? First question?
Oh, I would love to. So, Katie, we always like to start the podcast with the same question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about what your relationship with your body was like when you were young?
Ooh, yes. Oh my goodness. I feel like a lot of people had always struggled with body image at some point in their life. I was definitely one of those people that was like very hush-hush about things like periods. I remember being like horrified by them. And I even think back to when I got my period for the very first time, I cried for 2 hours straight because I was so upset that I had to have this every month until I was like 50, which honestly, looking back, is such a rational reaction.
Right? I remember asking my mom.
So funny.
I asked my mom if I was going to have to go to school. And she was like, yeah. And she was like, I have to go to work. And I was furious. I like stomped away.
That's so funny. Yeah. Everyone was like celebrating it. And like, honestly, great. Like so happy they were doing that. And I was just like upset. I was, this is so rude.
That's cool that your friends were celebrating it.
Yeah, like they're like, we became a woman. And I feel like I've been one. It's just another annoyance. But sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I feel like, so I grew up in Florida, which is an interesting time to be. And so it was summer year round. And there's like, and I was an athlete growing up. So a lot of the times I was like very, very active for the purpose of like being good at a sport, which was really nice. I think I had a healthy relationship with exercise because I was like really excited to be better on the tennis court, which is where I played. But then you're always surrounded by like what other people are eating and doing. And it's so easy to get into your head about the way you look or if you're like everyone else, if you're dressed like everyone else, if your body is doing the same things as everyone else. And it's such a like roller coaster of a time being a young person and like a changing body. It's wild.
Yeah. That comparison piece is so spot on. And it's amazing how young it starts, right? Of us evaluating ourselves against other, you know, other kids. And it's like, oh, how is my body measuring up? Does it look like her body? You know, is it going to be a good body? You know, and yeah, like our bodies change so much, especially when we hit puberty and that period begins and all the things change. I know it for sure did for Steph and I.
Oh, yeah. We both have talked at length on the podcast about being the first ones to get boobs.
Oh, yeah. Estrogen was like, hey-o.
Hey-o, here I am.
Here I am.
It's so true. And especially I got my period early. I got my period at 11.
Same.
20s.
We would.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember like I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before or not, but like when I got my period, because I had had cancer 2 years before when I was 9, and I didn't know that apparently like from the chemotherapy and stuff that I had had that it was a question of if I would get my period. But not knowing that piece of information until much later, I got my period, told my mom, and she started like crying and like singing some song about, like, which, like, if you know my mom, it's just like very on brand.
Oh my God.
But she started singing some song about like entering womanhood or like some crazy shit that I don't even know what it was. And I was so embarrassed. And I was like, you are making a very big deal about this. And like, so I didn't even have the, like the choice of telling the rest of my family because my mom broke out into song, like just the whole
thing.
That is thing.
Hilarious.
But I was like so embarrassed. And now knowing, I'm like, okay, I guess that's like fair. You didn't know if this experience would happen for your child.
Yeah, right.
But now like
looking back,
it's just
so now I feel compelled to tell my period story.
Yeah, could you tell yours?
Because mine's actually pretty funny.
Because then also after was when I was like, wait, do I have to go to school with this?
Hold on.
And my mom was like, yeah, and it's going to happen every month.
Breaks.
And I was furious.
You're like, what is happening?
Like, this is a trap.
So for me, I had gone to my pediatrician for my like yearly well check. And to give some backstory too, like I legit saw my pediatrician like this weekend at my brother's baby shower. Like,
oh my God.
She's like our like neighborhood friend. Like a family friend. Yeah. So I go to see good old Pam. Love me some Pam. And she, you know, she's a really great doctor and like asks all these questions, like wanting to get to know you and like your life. Cause that, you know, those things casually impact your health. Right.
Right.
And so she was so great. And so, you know, she gets the question like, have you started your period yet? And I was like, no. And then she goes to like, give me like my exam. And she's like, yes, you did. Like that day.
Like right then.
That day I started my period. And I didn't know that. I didn't know. It was like very light. I didn't know, like, no, I started my period.
I mean, yeah.
And she was like, this has never happened before. I was like,
wow.
Just like on the table started your period.
It's fine. It's casual. So that's me. But I also, like, we digress.
Yeah, sorry. We're big tangent people.
We are big tangent people. We digress. Yeah. So it's cool to hear how you had, like, a really, you know, positive relationship, like, with exercise via tennis, and, like, moving your body. Like, that's amazing. Did that stay with you? Did you ever feel like that changed, that shifted? Like, have you, it sounds like overall you had a really positive relationship with your body, which is great. Did you ever go through like, you know, harder times or yes? Or maybe,
oh yeah. Maybe. Oh yeah. There's definitely, again, it was probably a roller coaster. I think the exercise was the one part growing up that was more healthy. I think I like wanted to try everything and wanted to like be everyone around me. And I went to like a very white school and didn't realize that I would look different and like physically be different than other people around me. And so I was always like trying to be like everybody else, which is like genetically not a thing. I've definitely had not the best relation to my body at times, then really strong. And I think even today it takes work. Like I think it's easier said than done to have a great relationship with your body. You have to practice it. You need to like practice saying positive things to yourself and like recognize when you're going down a negative path again and try to stop it actively. And I plan on continuing to work on that, like, as I grow.
Yeah, it absolutely is one of those things where it's a lifelong thing that you work on, right?
It's a practice.
It's a practice for sure. And I'm curious, just since like we both had a similar college experience, you know, went to the same school, like did your years in college, and not even like our college, right? Like think like college for anybody, but like did your years in college have an impact on, you know, body image and things like that?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, I think college is a really interesting time for young women, and it's like our bodies are changing again, like it seems. So right. And you have all these different factors, and you're like feeding yourself and half the time it's like dining all food, which isn't like great. And then you're like feel like crap half the time because you're staying up till 2 a.m. studying and like living off coffee instead of water. And it's like, what are we doing? So absolutely. And you're just surrounded by so many people that are so different than you. And I think it's like a time again that you have to remind yourself that like, hey, I'm different. I'm built differently. Like I have completely different genetic makeup than someone next to me. And like, that's okay. And that's what makes us so amazing. But I think in the elements and like being in the day-to-day, it's again, that's easier said than done. So went through more like roller coasters of my body changing and wanting to like focus on that. But again, it went back to simply just like doing things that I enjoy and like I'm moving my body in ways that like feels best for me and like consuming things that make me feel good and happy. And it's always going back to that. I think even I'm guilty of this, like trying the cool new like fad diets and like all these different terms. And I'm like, oh, like this will make me feel great. And then half the time it's just like tears apart your mental health.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Totally.
That's such an interesting way to think about it, because we do, I think it's easy to look at some of these things that are like, you're going to feel good if you cut entire food groups out of your life. But the way you phrased it, that it was actually really bad for your mental health. And like those feelings are just as important as your physical feelings. And having that like understanding that both pieces are essential to your health, and that what might have a veil of looking like it's going to make you feel good physically is really not going to make you feel good mentally.
And often it doesn't even make you feel good physically.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And often you're like, wait a minute, I'm just like really hungry and I'm stressed out. And like, wait, I need that food.
And like I miss bread.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I love bread.
I love bread.
I had a pretty like aha moment myself recently, like within the past like 2 months. That just came to me as I was, honestly, like, I was writing an Instagram post and I was like, holy shit, it just like downloaded, like, oh my God. And it had to do with like my own experience in college. And because it was for me in college when I totally spiraled. And that's like when I kind of had these like, you know, very disordered thoughts about my body, you know, all like, you know, since I was really in middle school, but they were pretty dormant all throughout. Like I didn't really act too much on them, you know, in middle school and high school. I mean, I did go to the gym, all that kind of stuff, like wanting to look a certain way, but it wasn't too crazy until college is when like it totally went out of control. And that's when like disordered eating, all that kind of stuff happened. And what I realized not long ago is that it makes perfect sense that it was when I was in college that it spiraled. And I just remembered the other thing I wanted to say. because you know, especially where we went to school, BC, it's a very competitive school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so competitive, right? And so I think a lot of us, at least for me, I was used to being like this big fish in the small pond of my high school. You know, like, and a lot of us at BC, we were like the president of student council, like the newspaper editor, and like, you know, because that's the type of kid that goes to school at Boston College. It just is, right? Like, you are the 4.0 student, like the good essay, all that stuff, right? Exactly. And so I was like, I think for a while that honestly helped me, you know, not spiral downwards into my own like disordered eating and all that kind of stuff, because I had these other things on my like worthiness list of like, oh, it's okay if I don't look this way because at least I am Liesl von Trapp in the school musical and I am vice president of student council. You know what I mean? I had other things to like say, oh, but I'm worthy in these ways. And then I get to BC and it was like, didn't make the dance team, didn't make the a cappella group, didn't make the school newspaper of the Heights. Like all these things I didn't like, I tried to do and they were like, nope. I was like, shit, right? And I also learned very quickly, at least for me, like I was not going to have a 4.0 at BC. That was just not going to happen. I learned very quickly to like appreciate a B. And I was like, okay, like now that's not even part of my identity. And so it was very much like, well, what gives me worth? You know, I was trying to like, and I didn't realize this until like literally 2 months ago, but it was like, what I can now see. I then threw myself into going to the Plex, our rec center, and like, you know, teaching classes and like, you know, eating a certain way. So it was like, well, if I don't have the 4.0 and I am not a part of all these like groups, at least I can have worth in these ways, right? Because society praises this like thin body and fitness and whatever. And so it's no wonder that I had spiraled because I was trying to replace my worth, right? I was trying to like find my worth. When, of course, now we know and we preach all the time, like our worthiness is inherent in us all the time. But I think that's like an interesting thing that I realized happened to me. But then the other thing that I realized I wanted to say is, and I was thinking about this like legit in the shower the other day. I don't know why, but I was.
That's where a lot of good thinking happens.
It is. But it's so fucked and it pisses me off so much. The fat phobia of the college years especially. And you know, of course, the whole like freshman 15 narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this is a time in life when exactly like what you said, like our bodies change again in college. Like they do for so many reasons. And one being, 18 to 22 years old, like the female body especially, it's going to change a lot, right? Oh, because we're maturing and our body preps for childbirth and all these things and our bodies change. Like we grow and we change and we're now becoming adults and not, you know, kids.
Right.
So it's like, wait, it's so bad that like then it's the demonized. Like, oh, if you gained weight in college, like, oh, like freshman 15, like you failed. Like you must have just been drinking away and like not move. And it's so vilified. And that's so deeply harmful.
And even when you think about it, like, I know we talk about this all the time, but having different seasons in your life and like outward influences like stress, new situations, being away from home for the first time, all of those things can result in weight gain because you're seeking comfort. And that's not a bad thing. Like, even if you did gain weight because you were eating more, eating differently, or like just in a stressful experience, like, why are we making that such an extreme failure on our part when it's like, I was just going through life and doing like life things. And so my body reflected that change that I was in. And it's just wild that we've created it into such an extreme failure when you're already like in a really hard time.
Seriously, we put so much pressure on ourselves and everything else. If we could just be like kind to our bodies and thank it for doing the basic functions.
Right?
So much better off.
I know. Especially because I love what you're saying. Like, it's so true that we all have a different genetic makeup and we're all so different. And so it's like, of course, our bodies are going to be different. But it's so hard when we live in this world that praises really the thin white body, right? Yeah. Like, that's what's held up as like, you know, the best. And that's so harmful. For all the reasons.
Yeah.
Because, we're not all meant to be thin and white, obviously.
Right? As it turns out.
As it turns out. This just in.
This just in, breaking news. Breaking you heard news. It here first.
Diversity is real and really wonderful.
All of our bodies are meant to be different.
Very different. So I'm so curious. Tell us, like, all about Viv for your V. Tell us like the inspiration, like the story behind it, like give our listeners, like, let's just dive into it.
Yeah, amazing. So I was studying marketing and something new called managing social impact at BC. And I was really, really fascinated by brands that were making an impact and like being the voices of others. And I went to school during the 2016 election. Like I was in my sophomore year at BC. And so it was a really fascinating time to be on a campus and being surrounded by people with so many differing views that I didn't know everyone had.
that is fascinating.
It really is. And I was watching all these brands start to speak up around things happening and all these movements that were occurring that were more of things brands used to not talk about and not get involved with. And it was really cool to see how they were starting to represent the voice of people and say maybe the government or other structures that we used to turn to weren't doing that and weren't fulfilling that role. And so from that moment, I always wanted to start a brand that represented the voices of others, especially those that are more marginalized or that are less represented. And naturally, I was really fascinated by women empowerment. And I grew up, was raised for most of my life by a single mom. So I was like, women are amazing. Like they can do so many amazing things. Like,
yes.
Such badasses. And
yes.
If I can help empower them in any way, like through whatever cause I build, like that's awesome. So that was a dream I always like had in the back of my head, but was just like doing the college thing, like surviving off of coffee kind of life.
Right. And,
finally, my senior year, I took this marketing elective called entrepreneurial marketing. And I really didn't know much about entrepreneurship or what it really was and what it entailed. But in that class, I built out what Viv is now basically on paper. I was doing like a ton of marketing research and I just found myself like so incredibly passionate about a class and a project. And the whole thing was like, find a problem, come up with a solution for it. And it was like pretty immediate. I was really fascinated by like how the hygiene space was evolving and redefining what it means to like be a woman and all these different terms. And so dove into that and like studied the space in depth and realized how much room there was for it to grow. And like, for me personally, I was trying to be more sustainable on campus, like doing little things like bring my coffee cup to the coffee shops on campus and stuff like that. That seems so minimal, but to me, it was like this big phenomenon and like readjustment of my life. And I was learning a lot about like plastic waste and the impact it has on the environment. So was learning about how much period care itself has such a big impact. But I knew that a lot of menstruators and a lot of women would be willing to make a switch to better the earth. We tend to be first movers in social causes, and mainly because it affects us so deeply. But if we can create something that enables us to be movers in the climate change movement better together, then that seemed like what I was really focused on. So when I learned that period care was really harmful, dove into that a lot and spent basically the remainder of my senior year like studying the space and building what Viv is today.
Oh,
so cool.
That's amazing.
I love this so much. It's funny because like as you're talking, since we went to the same school, I had like these very like vivid images in my head of like you like in, oh my gosh, and I'm blanking on the name of
like Hillside and the chocolate bar.
Yes. And the, what's a CSOM's like building called again?
Fulton.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm like, oh my God. I was
there.
Like seeing like the Fulton classrooms and like the Dust Bowl. And, like you like, yes. I'm like, oh my God. It's cool. Cause like, that's like, it was also there where I got my inspiration for what I do now too. So it's just like really cool how it's like these moments that can really have this big impact on the rest of our lives. But so I'm so curious, like tell us more about how like the typical period care is harmful for the environment. Like give us more about that.
Yeah. So I was doing some research and found that one regular pad is equal to about 4 plastic bags of waste. And one pad can take up to 800 years to break down. And we think about how much we personally use in our one cycles and then in our lifetime and then how much a community uses. It's creating a lot of waste that just sits on the planet for so, so long. And there wasn't really an alternative out there that I felt comfortable using yet. So I figured other people probably felt the same way I did. And if we can introduce something that is a really similar swap, and like periods are annoying, like periods aren't fun. You want to ensure that like the experience you have is what you're used to and it's comfortable and it's easy. And so we wanted to create a product that acted and performed the same or better than the ones out there, but was much better for the earth. And so you didn't even have to think about like compromising much to be able to use that instead.
I love that so much because it's true, especially, you know, I think about I've now been on my period once a month for 19 years. And I'm just like, you get used to using the same products over and over again and you don't even really think about it. And then when you become aware, like a pad, a single pad staying on the planet for 800 years before it breaks down, gross. And
800 years.
And you think
that's
about
fucking crazy.
And you think about how many pads you would use in one cycle.
Times how many menstruators are out there. So many.
God. The math, I'm not good at math, but it's astronomical even to a good person probably good at it.
And it's like, I feel like for so many of us, like climate change can feel so overwhelming and we can feel so like hopeless. Like, oh my God, like what can I do? You know? But I think it is in these little things, you know, where it's like, oh, it matters what I choose in terms of my period care. Like I can make this switch and that's gonna make an impact. And if we all decide to make these switches, wow, like that's a big deal. So what are your, like what are Viv's pads and liners and everything? What are they made out of?
Yeah, so our pads and liners are actually made out of a bamboo fiber. And bamboo is this like really cool crop because our products themselves are plastic free, they're toxin free, biodegradable, like all the things we want. But we're innovating from the core of the fiber. So traditional products are made out of cotton, but a lot of times that cotton's like it's tons of chemicals in it. It's really processed and the same chemicals you would find in a Roundup weed killer or in most pads and tampons today that are not toxin free. A lot of people don't know that. I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
Roundup weed killer is it in your period products.
Okay, question. I use currently. Obviously, I'll have to switch to Viv. But like, how does yours compare?
Yeah, so is toxin-free, but they're still using a lot of plastic in their products. So they're not plastic-free. So we're eco-friendly and toxin-free while they're just toxin-free.
That's really, really cool. So while other period care companies are doing, are making strides in terms of having toxic-free products, they still are using a lot of plastic and being harmful for the environment in those ways.
Yeah. And so they're using an organic cotton a lot of times, which is great. But when we use bamboo, especially in pads and liners, it's amazing because bamboo is this awesome crop. It uses a lot less water, a lot less land to grow, and it grows best naturally. So you don't need any harsh chemicals involved at all in growing this crop. And it's also softer and more absorbent. So it's literally the perfect alternative.
Like a win-win-win?
And so in comparison to a typical pad taking 800 years, I'm still like, that's still blowing my mind, like 800. I'm like, I'm not saying that wrong. I'm like, no, it's actually 800. That's like mind-blowing to me. How long does it take for a Viv damp or pad to?
150 days.
You guys!
150 days compared to 800 years.
Wow.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer after a while. You're like, yes, I should be switching.
Oh my God.
And it's so powerful too to think about it in these things like pads, tampons, cups, whatever you purchase for your period. Like, but everybody has used pads. And just thinking about such a huge impact you can have with a thing that you need to use. Like as menstruators, we don't have an option.
Right.
And it's like, that is such an astronomical impact, especially thinking about the amount of pads that you've probably already used in your life. And we've got, I mean, I assume I have like much more time to go on this period train.
So I know that there's probably a lot of people out there who are thinking, you're saying pads and liners, what about tampons?
Yeah. So we have pads and liners. We also have menstrual cups if someone wants to be more eco-friendly and use a reusable option. Yeah. It's more zero waste, which actually have been really, really popular.
Yeah, super cool.
But we're also releasing tampons in early 2021. Some big tampons. We're super excited. Instead of a plastic applicator, there'll be a plant-based applicator. So think of like a compostable spoon. So it'll feel like plastic. So like everyone hates like cardboard applicators.
Yeah,
so,
ouch.
Ouch is right. Yeah. And so it'll act and feel like plastic again, like mimicking something you're so used to using, just but being a more eco-friendly alternative.
This is so cool. Cause can I be real for a second?
Yeah. There's also another,
I love how you're like, we want to make this feel good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let's make this feel as good as like plastic feels, for instance. Cause like, yeah, the cardboard is like,
ouch.
And then there are some that like don't have the applicators.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like,
I feel the same way.
The applicator.
I was about to say like the same thing because it's true. I'm a tampon user and I have tried many other like more eco-friendly or like toxin-free things. But yeah, ouch. Or like they, you know, you open it up and it's like, what am I supposed to do with this tiny little thing that has, there's no like attachment.
I know. I'm like, how do I do this?
I'm like, I'm just not equipped for this yet.
But it seems like intimidating, weirdly enough.
Well, and I just, but I love that you're putting in the thought to make it so similar to something that a menstruator would already be using and would be very comfortable with. And so that makes it such a seamless transition. That's such an easy yes and such an easy thing to switch to that I'm just like, all right, like get here. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Viv tampons.
Yes, exactly. And it's like with so many other elements of being eco-friendly, it can be so intimidating and it can seem so, so difficult. It's like, it should be easier. We should make this easier. We have the technology, we have the innovations. It's like just understanding what we need for our periods and translating it over.
That's so cool. So like, I can only imagine that the road to get here. I mean, it's a complicated process.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, damn girl, this is like so impressive. Like, how did you go from, you know, being at BC, having this idea to like making it a real thing?
Yeah, that was like, I've obviously never been an entrepreneur before. This is my first time being an entrepreneur. And this is the first product I've ever brought to a market. And so learning how to do that has been really fascinating. And a lot of the times it's simply like asking others how they did it and like asking for help and like getting over that in our head to like being okay with asking for help and getting a lot of advice. And what's nice is because I was coming straight out of school, I was in the mindset of like willing to learn and continuously learning. And a lot of other founders can become like stubborn and not ask for advice or hate getting feedback and advice. Well, I was like, please give me all the advice. I like clearly need it. And that was crucial for figuring out how to do manufacturing and build a supply chain and like building a brand and even just like very simple, small things that come up along the way that we had this community we built because we were telling people at BC and other entrepreneurs like what we were trying to do. And people are so willing to help like young founders and people starting things that are really impactful. And so that's been crucial for our growth is just simply like getting advice and help from others.
Hey guys, Julie here. So what if you didn't have to go on another like torturous diet, cleanse, lifestyle plan, whatever you want to call it this January?
Be pretty great, right?
Yeah. What if instead you decided to embark on a journey that actually, you know, supported your overall health and well-being?
Tell me more.
You know, it would help you, you know, like make peace with food, eat the foods that you enjoy without guilt. It'll help you dismantle the harmful beliefs that have made you think you have to shrink your body to fit in. It'll help you create a relationship with exercise that you actually enjoy so you can experience the benefits of consistent movement in the long term. It'll help you reclaim, you know, your time, energy, brain space, casual from all those negative thoughts about your body and that constant monitoring of food. And guys, it'll help you actually build trust with your body so you can stop trying to manipulate her and put your energy towards what actually is important to you. You know, like that job promotion or getting better sleep, reading more, improving public speaking skills, like, you know, whatever it is you want to do this year. This is exactly what my new special 4-week experience called New Year's Reclamations is all about. I'm running this program with my dear friend, Holly Toronto. She was on our pod back in like August,
maybe. I don't even remember.
You can scroll back and see Holly Toronto. She's fabulous. And we are bringing to you this very, very special program to help you, you know, opt out of the insane diet culture that comes every single January. It includes 4 powerful training videos specifically designed to help you reclaim your body, reclaim food, reclaim exercise, reclaim your confidence this new year. There are fun handouts and guides and journaling prompts, a private Facebook community for interaction and support. And 2 live group coaching calls to really get more intimate support from both Holly and myself, who are master level coaches. You guys, we are so excited for this special 4-week experience to help you ditch diet culture this new year. Join us, join us, join us. I know it might seem a little far off as it's still the very end of November when you're hearing this, but we are doing a special. If you enroll by December 11th, we're throwing in an extra special bonus. That's going to be a fabulous training for how to navigate the holidays at the end of the year from a way that's going to really support your relationship with food. So all of that, guys, for $29.
Hot damn.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Because we want to make this as easy as possible, right? As easy as possible for you to be like, yes, let's do it. Because, girlfriend, want to have your back. Supporting you to ditch diet culture this new year. So, link is in our show notes. It's on my Instagram bio, on my website. It's everywhere. Let's do it. Don't wait around. Sign up today so that you can feel good this new year and ditch diets for good. What I love so much about this, first of all, do you love the podcast, How I Built This with Guy Raz?
Yeah, of course. I listen constantly.
You're so good.
I'm going to manifest like you're going to be on it one day. I'm fascinated by hearing stories behind like our favorite brands and things like that. It's just like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But like what I want to like mirror back and echo like what you just said is like people I think get so caught up when it comes to pursuing any sort of like passion or dream, like new endeavor. They get caught up in like, I don't know how. Mm-hmm. You know, like I have this idea, but like, I don't know how. And they feel like they can't do it until they know the how. And it's like, no, like you're like, I've never been an entrepreneur before. Like I hadn't ever run my own business before either. Right? Like there's stuff like we don't know how. We just like figure it out along the way. We say, you know what? I'm passionate. I want to do this. And then you just take that first step, you know, and just say like, okay, I'm just going to figure it out, you know? And yeah, who are those people around you? What are those networks? Like, what are those communities that you can, you know, reach to and say like, hey, can you help me? Like, I have no idea what to do. Like, can you help show me the way? And like, yeah, it's really cool when people, you know, they get excited when you're excited. And especially when you have an idea that's as good as yours. But for any like listener out there, like you don't have to know the how before you start. Like start and the how will follow.
I think it's the thing that I found is that so many entrepreneurs, for me, you know, I'm an artist, like other artists, are so willing to help you because we all enter into entrepreneurship like not really knowing what the fuck we're doing. You have your why, right? Like you have your thing, your idea, your passion, whatever it is. And that feeling inside of you that you like have a thing you need to put out into the world is what drives you to become an entrepreneur. But it's like, the entrepreneurship comes along with the passion and the drive and your why you want to do it. And so the how is something you have to just sort of like pick up along the way. Nobody ever is like, I know exactly how to be an entrepreneur on my own before they start doing it. And so that's why I always am so excited when like a younger artist will reach out to me or somebody who wants to do something similar. And they're like, how did you do it? And I'm like, I can tell you how I did it, but there's also a million other different paths to get to where you want to be. And there are so many people who are willing to talk to you about it and like tell you their own experience. And I just think it shouldn't be a well-kept secret that like other people are happy to help support people who want to do something because they believe in it, but it is a secret.
Seriously. Yeah. And we have to learn by doing it. I think a lot of people have this idea that you have to wait till you're ready. Being an entrepreneur, it's like, you're never going to be ready to start a company. That's not like an easy thing. That's like, oh, I feel very prepared to like take a big leap and risk in my life. No, you have to just start and then you'll figure it out and you'll feel more comfortable along the way.
Yeah.
But like starting is the hardest part.
Yeah. Absolutely. I say all the time, I'm like, if you are waiting until you feel all the way ready, you are going to be waiting forever. Uh-huh. Like I have flipped my entire life upside down like many times already. But when I started my business, it really was just, I was like, I'm ready for something new. I think this is the right next step. But I didn't know where I was going to land when I left. I just had to take that leap. And then I found my way here. And it was not a linear path by any means. But sometimes you have to just like listen to that thing inside of you that is saying like, it's time. It's time. But you're like, but I don't know how to do taxes. And I don't know how to like run a business or get an LLC. And like Google is great. You can ask other people. There's a lot of ways to figure things out as you go.
Yeah.
But I think I'm always so inspired by people who have these brilliant ideas and who go after them. Like what you've created is so incredible and important. And I am just super thrilled to get to talk to you about it.
I know. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It's funny because when you were saying like there's never going to be like the right time. My older brother he's a co-founder of a startup called Ether, and they make diamonds from carbon. And so they have this like really cool process of like, capturing carbon. It's this whole thing. It's like they capture the carbon in like Switzerland, and then it's like turned into some carbon thing in France, and then it gets shipped to Chicago where they actually then like make these diamonds. And it's really cool because it reminds me a lot of Viv, honestly, because they're making this product that's actually really good for the environment. So like for every 2-carat diamond in like that they make from carbon, it's the equivalent of one person's like carbon emissions for like the carbon footprint for 2.5 years.
Wow.
So it like takes out like 2.5 years of one person's carbon emission for a 2-carat diamond. Right? I'm like, it's so cool how, you know, again, coming back, like back to like this whole climate change thing, so that it's so real and it's so important that we're taking the steps that we can. It's like by using, you know, your products, right? By using like your like Viv period care, boom, easy. If you're gonna get engaged, right, or whatever, or like for any like boom, like Ether, you know, it's so cool how these companies, and there are so many companies these days that are coming together that are creating products that's like, here, do this, and this will actually help, you know, the environment. But like what Dan was saying, he's like, yeah, like we're, you know, like he's been working on this for a while, but it's been really during the pandemic that like he's going full into this now. And so it's like, there's never a right time, y'all. Like here my brother is like diving full into this business and this startup like during a pandemic. You know what I mean? So like there will never be like the right time.
Mm-mm. Oh, there never is. And it's funny because I think a lot of people compare our time now to other startups that have thrived under really uncertain times. And you see like the Airbnb story and all like Venmo all occurred during like massive recessions. And it's funny because it's like you can oftentimes get the most creative because there's lots of problems that need to be solved during these times. And that's when the most amazing innovations occur. So it's like finding the opportunity and all of this like bad and crummy things going on.
I love that. I'm always here for a good silver lining of hard times. But it's true. I think like sometimes like hard times force us to get creative or force us, even like if not starting a business, even if it's like makes us be like, wait a minute, how do I want to live my life? Like I had like my cousins that live in upstate New York, like it was the pandemic that made them be like, you know what? We want to move to New Hampshire and like start our life in New Hampshire. And so they are, you know, and it's just, it's kind of cool. And you can see like when a hardship, a hard time that maybe has thrown you out of your regular routine, the regular comfort can actually inspire you to make intentional changes in your life and like get out of the everyday norm and actually, you know, for the better.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I love that.
It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think it also, I know this year for me has made me think more about where and how I am spending my money, what I'm investing in, especially when you think about like with period care, obviously it's an investment that we make. And we know like with the pink tax and with all of these things that make menstrual care very expensive for something that is an absolute necessity. And so when I'm like, all right, I'm going to drop a lot of money on tampons or whatever in my lifetime, like, would I prefer to give that money to a big corporation that is maybe not like giving it to people that I would love on the back end?
Slash or creating toxic products.
Slash creating toxic products that will,
earth for
that will be
years.
On the earth longer than like my great grandchildren.
great grandchildren.
And so it's like, there's that piece. And then also thinking about like actually the products that we are putting on and in our bodies. When we think about period care, I know that it was not a question in my mind of like, oh, I'm just going to use like, right? Like I'm just going to buy like those tampons because those are the ones that I see commercials for. But then when you realize that those have like bleach in them, like very, very harmful chemicals. And I'm like, oh, I'm just letting this sit inside of my body for days. Like obviously different ones. But when you think about these products that you are literally putting inside of your body, but these products that we do have a very personal experience with, and knowing that there are a lot of really harsh chemicals in the ones that we grew up using, it just is like a no-brainer to me to make that monetary investment in something that is safer for me, safer for my body, way safer for the environment. That again, like I would love for my great, great, great grandchildren to live on Earth and not on like the moon, because the Earth.
Alex is all about moving to Mars. We were watching something. My husband like loves Mars. Like he's all into like space.
Alex would love Mars.
He does. He's obsessed. And he legit at like in a very serious way was like, if we had the like chance to like go to Mars, would you want to go to Mars? Like seriously asked me that. I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, do I have to answer right now?
I'm like, I can just flying an airplane, let alone getting on a rocket ship. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Anyways, so speaking of making empowered purchasing decisions, how do people like purchase your tampons or not? Well, tampons coming
soon,
tampons soon, but your current like pads, liners, and menstrual cups.
Yes. So I love this. I love the concept of voting with your dollars.
Yes.
Companies that you want to support. And I think we're seeing more of a trend with that with the pandemic. And I hope that's something that continues onward, is like supporting small businesses, supporting minority owned businesses and companies that are working to make an ethical impact. And for us, we sell our products online. We're a direct to consumer company. So we can have everything delivered to you, which was kind of almost working in our favor. I think people are more open now to like subscribing to things,
delivered,
so they're not running to a store constantly during a global pandemic.
And I love a subscription.
We love subscription services.
We do have subscription, and we have just a one-time purchase if you want to try out our products too. But we sell online at vivforyourbee.com. You can buy products there. You can try out a variety of things, and definitely keep an eye out for our tampon launch in early 2021.
Yeah.
But we also have a ton of educational content on there, like blogs, and our social media is super active to help educate people about period care and the environment and all these really important concepts. So even if you see like the menstrual cup on our website and you don't know anything about a menstrual cup, we have blog posts and Instagram posts to like help you learn about them, because we feel like that's a big part of our role as a brand, is to educate people. So definitely read some of those cool blog posts.
Oh, I love it. I need to connect you with our good friend, Nina Boyce, who's a hormone coach. She would like, and she has an amazing podcast called Healing Hormones. She's amazing. I have to ask, where did the name Viv come from?
Oh, I love this question. So Viv is actually a personified name, is personifying a brand. And so we think of Viv as this like alter ego or like older sister, older person we look up to that is just such a badass, is an activist, is a role model for others. And when we have like big things coming up as a team, we like to channel Viv energy ahead.
I hope
our customers do too. We're like, if you need a little pump up, you need some empowerment, like Viv's here for you. Like she's been here for us.
Oh my God.
I love it so much.
What would Viv do?
Seriously.
What would Viv say right now? She'd be like, girlfriend, you got this.
Oh my God, I love it. So yeah, it's the Viv for your V. Like that's amazing. So cute.
I love it so much. I'm so happy. And I know that I asked that question because I love that answer.
Oh my goodness.
Well, Steph, should we take you home?
So Katie, we always like to end the podcast with the same question too, which is, if you could talk to younger Katie at any point, What is one thing you wish that she knew?
My goodness. Wow. That's a good one. I would probably say to go back and really embrace everything that makes you different and view it as your superpower rather than something that's hindering you.
Oh, I love that answer so much. Yes. That's so similar to my own answer to that question too. So I love it.
I love that. That's the truth, right? That like what makes us different is our superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And like the system wins when we try to like mute those superpowers, right? And try to like conform to like their ideals. Like it's so fucked up.
It's true. And like the things that make us different are different ideas. Those are those things, right, that lead us to grow up and become people with big passions and big dreams. And embracing those differences in ourselves when we're younger is what gives us that internal power of being like, you know what? I can fucking go out and do this. Why not me? Like Mindy Kaling says.
I love that.
Friend of the pod, Mindy Kaling. Like, why not me?
Why not me?
And I love that you are out here making such a really beautiful difference in the world for menstruators and everybody, because everybody on earth gets to benefit when there are less 800-year-old pads sitting around.
Everyone benefits. Even people who don't menstruate benefit from there not being 800-year-old pads on the earth.
That's what I'm saying.
Ew, can you like imagine what an 800-year-old pad even like?
Sick.
Sorry for that image.
Sorry, it had to be done.
Let's eliminate those.
Let's get rid of the 800-year-old image. Pads.
Be what motivates you to be like, yeah, fuck that shit. I'm getting some beef on my or bid for my beef.
Yes. So, Katie, where can our listeners find you, find Viv, all the things?
Yeah, so check out our website. It's vivforyourv.com. And then all of our social media handles are at vivforyourv. We're really, really active on Instagram, and we're even doing some TikTok these days.
Yes.
So, check us out there too.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Katie, for joining us. It was so wonderful to talk to you and hear all about Viv for Your V.
Yes. Thank you all for listening. We love you. Bye. Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of The Babes Mint.
We hope you're feeling a little more at home in your body and inspired as hell.
If you are ready to change your relationship with your body and yourself, we're here for you.
Snag a goddess session with Steph.
Or check out Jules' free masterclass to free yourself from diet culture for good.
The links are on our website to learn more and sign up.
And of course, if you loved this episode, we'd so appreciate it if you spread the love a little bit.
Share the app.
Rate the show.
Leave a review.
Subscribe.
You know what to do.
It's 2020.
Until next time.
Thanks. We love you. Bye.